everybody.
Hey, welcome to the Fiercely Altered Perspective.
Also known as the Fat Pod.
Hell yeah.
Dun, da, da, da. That's Quinn.
And that is Ember.
And today is day two of our awesome dropping an episode every day.
Right.
And with today, we decided to cover, I don't know how to word this one exactly.
Unbelievable shit.
Yeah.
It's unsolved and unfound and unclaimed and all the uns.
Yeah. And it just, it makes you go, what?
Right.
It's hard to understand. So, yeah, I don't know what to say right now before jumping into this episode.
Well, all right. So episode number two in progress right now. And please bear with us because we're very much in the learning curve. We're trying to get our audio dialed in and smoothed out and lined out and ready to go as far as that is. But like everything, you got to learn to crawl before you walk, before you run, right?
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we really have anything that we need to cover before going into this.
So perfect.
So let's just go ahead and jump right in.
All right. So this one is called The FAP Chronicles on Unsolved and Unknown.
Yes. So we know that murder is horrible, painful, and terrifying.
Right.
It's made worse when the killer is never found and nobody is ever brought to justice. However, I think the absolute worst thing is when a murder occurs and even the identity of the victim is never known.
Right.
So if you can't identify the victim, you can't identify the perpetrator.
Right.
And there's little to nothing to go off of.
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of covering today. We're going to cover one case in more detail, and then we'll have some other things at the end.
Right. So in Whitehaven, Pennsylvania, on December 20th, 1976, 14-year-old Kenneth Jumper was playing by the Lehigh River when he found some suitcases. They'd obviously been tossed over the bridge, and some of the items had spilled out. He ran and reported as fast as he could, stating that there was body parts all over the riverbank.
That was probably not exactly how he planned on his day going.
Right, he's probably down there doing a little fishing, maybe chasing after some crawdads or something like that. And
yeah.
Just being a 14-year-old little boy and stumbles upon that.
I've always wondered how I would react if I found a dead body.
Right.
Especially in this case. So when investigators arrived at the scene, they actually found out that it was way worse than what they had probably prepared for.
Right.
There on the side of the riverbank in three suitcases was the body of a young woman who was 9 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the suitcases had split open and a head, two halves of the torso, and the woman's unborn child was spilling out onto the ground, like something that you would probably expect to see in like a haunted house or right. Some sort of weird Halloween whatevers.
That are on like some cheesy ass 80s slasher flick.
Yeah, and this was not that at all. Like, my heart goes out to that poor kid.
Right.
She had obviously been murdered, dismembered, and tossed off of the interstate. And this was just 5 days before Christmas, so nobody was looking forward to informing any sort of loved ones.
Right.
Especially with her being pregnant.
So two of the suitcases were jean blue with red, white, and blue stripes across the top. Another one was just a tan plaid color. And they were vinyl and all the same size. They had also been spray painted black with the handles removed.
Mm-hmm. So the investigators came to that conclusion that obviously the suitcases had to been tossed off of the bridge above on I-80. And where they had landed, they assumed that the vehicle had been moving west and it was 300 feet. And obviously the perpetrator was going to try to hit the river and have everything just wash down the river.
Right.
However, he or she had missed. Instead, two of the suitcases were found 20 feet from the river just inside the woods, and the third was found on the riverbank. So the team collected the evidence and sent it to Gadenhütten Hospital. I think that's how you say it.
Sure.
Thinking that someone would be reporting a missing pregnant person in no time.
In autopsy, the remains of the woman were labeled as incident number N327244. She is also nicknamed Beth Doe. Beth was between 4'11" and 5'4" and weighed between 140 and 150 pounds, late teens, early 20s, and only days away from giving birth. She had shoulder length brown hair and was type O blood. She had a 2 to 6 inch scar visible above one of her heels, and two moles on her face, one just above her left eye and one on her left cheek. Evidence showed Beth had been raped, strangled, and shot in the neck. She was dismembered and She was dismembered with a serrated blade. However, her nose, breasts, and ears have never been found.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and assume possible trophies.
Trophies or somebody doing the very best that they can to not make identification.
Right, exactly. But
the breasts still, that's why I'll lean with you towards trophies.
Yeah, because that's just weird.
Right.
Like nose and ears, I can understand because then it's harder to do a composite sketch.
Sure. Well, and that's the deal is if someone tried to do a composite sketch of you, though, going off of your ears, they'd think that they had a fucking 6-year-old.
Hey, Mr. Hammond, I'm going to need you to fuck off.
So everybody knows, Ember has the smallest ears of a grown-ass woman that anybody has ever seen.
I have the ears of an 8-month-old. It's pretty sad. I can't help it. That's why I try to, you know, just cover it up a little bit. What's sad is my ears fit perfectly on the inside of these headphones. Like, just perfect. And they're tiny little holes. Yeah,
they're on the ear headphones. They're not over the ear headphones.
Shut your mouth. Beth Doe was also fingerprinted and she had dental records taken. And they had found that she had had some fillings and she had a broken front tooth. Examiners also found that she had a set of numbers on her left hand, meaning she was either right-handed and wrote this herself or her murderer wrote it. It read WSR followed by the number 4 or 5. And then after one of those numbers came 4 or 7. Since then, the police had tried to run it as possible license plate number, anything like that.
Right. So some of the other evidence that was collected was straw, packing foam, a bedspread, reddish orange made of Chanel fabric with yellow and pink embroidered flowers. Excuse me. Waterlogged fragments of a newspaper from New York Sunday paper dated September 26, 1976. Both the bedding and the newspaper were used to wrap the remains. And after 3 hours, examiners submitted fingerprints, dental information, and mysterious numbers to the FBI, which came back with no matches. They made the sketch. They made a sketch since they didn't know her identity. This turned up some leads, but still no one was able to positively identify this woman.
Right. So how does a woman, well, a young girl, they think that she was probably between 17 and 21. So how does a young woman just days away from having a baby disappear and nobody knows who she is, where she came from? Not a family member, a man who got her pregnant, a friend, a neighbor, co-worker, nobody, not a thing.
Right.
Nobody came forward. And after 7 years, Beth Doe and her unborn child were buried in 1983 at Lawrytown Road Cemetery in Weatherly, Carbon County, Pennsylvania. The remains were exhumed on October 30th, 2007 to gather more evidence with advances in technology.
So, fun fact about October 30th, that happens to be our anniversary.
It is. That's when we decided to get married because we're bad at dates. Well, I'm bad at dates.
Right. So, a little snippet of information on that. Never, ever schedule something on the 30th and spell it out.
Oh, never do that. Don't be fancy.
No. No. Put 30th.
Do that.
Because everybody and their dog looks at 30th when it's written out as the 13th.
Every single time. I love it. I love it.
Before Beth Doe was a teen, she had some of her molars removed and had fillings in her teeth, meaning at some point someone helped take care of her. Beth had severe tooth decay on her front incisor, which had also been broken and would have caused excruciating pain. Upon further examination of her tooth enamel, it indicates that she was probably born in Europe and moved to the U.S. before her teen years, quite possibly from Serbia or Croatia.
So with isotope testing that they did on Beth Doe's hair, teeth, and bones, we were able to find out that she was in the United States for 5 to 10 years, and she either lived in Tennessee or a nearby state. The examination of the baby stated she was gestated in the southeastern part of the country. These testings were all done at the University of North Texas Center for Human Investigation in Fort Worth, Texas.
So I want to know how, like, I'm a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to grab gears and haul shit all over the place. This stuff to me is like amazing. And
oh yeah,
you know, we've watched the different shows on TV and stuff like that that show all these super fancy pieces of equipment. But how, like, to me, it boggles my mind on how they would be able to know that they looked at this baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was like, oh, well, this baby is, you know, from somewhere down southeast.
Yeah. And with isotope testing, you know, they take little pieces out of, you know, hair, teeth, and bone, and they're able to determine, you know, what kind of water you drink, the kind of food right. that you ate, like the environment you were around based upon the weather, and all sorts of fancy brain stuff
right.
that I can't do. I like to think that I'm smart. You would never know with how I talk because I mess up all the time. But that is some insane
right.
intelligence for somebody to be like, I want to know somebody down to this tiny piece of information.
So if they ever ran that kind of a test on me, they'd be like, this dude really enjoys gas station hot dogs.
We know this man was around 6'4", 6'5", and he enjoyed Maverick hot dogs. Right.
There's nothing finer than a high-quality gas station hot dog.
Or the pig in the blanket.
Right.
He also consumed large quantities of beer.
Yeah.
All right. But anyways.
All right. So a woman named Nancy Monahan thought she went to school with this girl. However, it turns out she didn't. However, Nancy has helped the group called Name Us, which helps find missing persons. Nancy also hosts a Facebook page called The Morning Call, and she launched PennsylvaniaMissing.com.
Right. Thought that she went to school with this same girl. She found out that she didn't. However, the one thing that you find yourself doing once you start looking into these cases is you start becoming
more involved.
I know that just because that's what I did the second I found this case, is mm-hmm. then I went on and I have since found many more cases, some of which we'll talk today and then others will be on their own episodes. But it's hard not to get emotionally involved on some level.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. So before they return the remains of Beth Doe and her unborn daughter, the team that was working on everything held a little funeral, which I thought was really cute, and it mm-hmm. made me cry.
Right. Well, and that's the deal, is even though that she to this day is still unknown and nobody has claimed her, she still has the right to have people mourn her.
Yeah.
And pay respect to her.
Yeah. Well, and it's really sad to find somebody that was taken, especially in a tragic way, add on more emotions, finding out she was days away from having a baby
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows that she's gone.
Right.
For one reason or another. She doesn't have a name.
Right. And that's something that I personally cannot grasp.
I can't either. You think about sometimes, you know, especially people when you're battling with depression mm-hmm. or things like that, you think, if I go, nobody's going to miss me. Nobody,
bullshit.
Nobody will know that I'm gone.
Right.
But most of the time they would know. And you look at these cases where I'm assuming somebody somewhere obviously misses this woman.
Right.
But they never knew when, where, how, why. It was also in the 70s. Who knows about her family that may be in Serbia or Croatia or wherever she originated from.
Right.
And they have no idea. And this happened in 76. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just really crazy to me. And it's something that's so far out of our realm of comprehension. And you think now, it's 2018 now. This kind of stuff wouldn't happen anymore. And no, still does.
Right.
Which is insane to me.
Oh, yeah. It happens on, unfortunately, almost an hourly basis.
Yeah, it's insane.
Right. It's a hard pill to swallow.
It really is. With the isotope testing, they're now going to be able to use that, and they have that in a database that they can now compare to other missing people or people that wanted to come forward. And we actually have 9 people,
mm-hmm.
9 families that submitted their missing person, and none of those came back as the Beth Doe.
Right.
But we do still want to cover those people as well.
Right.
So the first one is, I want to say like Anastasia, but I know that's not how it's spelled. It's something along those lines. She went by Anna.
Right.
So Anna.
Anastase.
Anastase Ben. I am so.
Benitska?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to go with, has it spelled out, Anastase Benitskas.
Right. And she was from Australia, and she was 15 when she went missing in the same year of 1976 when getting on the bus in Victoria. However, However, she took all of the family photographs with her, and she had told the family, I'm taking these with me to go show people at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's never been seen since. Her family, still to this day, her siblings and stuff, the ones that are still alive, think that she is also still alive, that she just left, you know, but she's still, they can't confirm or deny any of that. She's still a missing person.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So another one is Isis Brown of Vermont. She was kidnapped in 1976 and went unknown until 2008.
Wait a minute. You mean Irish?
Iris?
Iris? You said Isis. And then I said Irish.
Jesus.
Let's see how much we can mess up the simple name.
Ah, God.
Okay.
Iris Brown of Vermont was kidnapped in 1976 and went unknown until 2008. So do the math on that.
That's a long time.
That's ridiculous.
That's a long time.
That is absolutely ridiculous. 32 years that she went with nothing.
And they had no idea.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So she went unknown until 2008 when an inmate serving time for her kidnapping confessed to strangling and dumping her body off the side of I-89 after a fight broke out. The man, William J. Posey, confessed when he was suffering from vascular disease.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to look, and I know that the family has confirmation because of that confession that she had died.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they have found her remains.
Fair enough.
So the next one is Valerie Kukia?
Kukia or Kusia?
Kusia of New York. Probably Kusia. She went missing in 1974 at age 20 after becoming separated at a club with her friend. This friend said that she last saw her talking to two white males, and she believes that they are the ones who took her friend Valerie, and she has not been seen since.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Teresa Fitton of Florida went missing from her home in 1975 after an argument with her boyfriend and has never been seen since. She was 6 weeks pregnant at the time of her disappearance. She was close in weight and fit the exact height descriptions of Beth Doe.
Right. Yeah, she was a little bit under the weight description for Beth Doe at the time.
Right.
But you would think if she was only 6 weeks pregnant, then yeah.
Right.
By the time she was about to have a baby, she would have been right at the same.
Right. And again, keep in mind that these are all different cases that have been proved not to be Beth Doe.
They are not Beth Doe, and unfortunately, so far, none of them have been found either.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that we know that she did for sure pass away was Iris.
Iris.
Irish.
Iris.
I wish I could say it right. Oh my goodness. It's one of those days today.
Right.
So the next one was Trenny Gibson of Tennessee. And she was 16 when she vanished in the Great Smoky Mountains in 1976. And there was actually, when I was looking this up, there was another case of a little boy who went missing in the same area, and they actually believe that that area is a huge spot for Bigfoot.
Really?
So we will probably mention Trenny Gibson again in a future case when we cover that.
Perfect. Perfect. Anna Leatherwood of Tennessee, she was older at 46, but we feel that her family sent in her stuff as a hope to find their mother. In 1976, her husband brought her to the family home, but her leg was bruised and she was limping. He said he would take her to the doctor, and that was the last time anyone saw Anna. He said he drove her to the doctor, but she never checked in. Her purse was left behind, and within a week, he either sold or burned all of her belongings. 6 months, 6 months later, sold the house and filed for divorce. After 7 years, he declared her legally dead and cashed out her life insurance.
So I'm not saying that the husband did it,
but
saying that the husband did it.
Yeah, well, I'll say it crystal clear.
That's insane.
That dude's a fucking stank.
Oh, for sure. Especially, it's weird enough that after a week you would sell belongings, but to burn them?
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months later you sell a house, and why would you file for divorce if your wife went missing?
Right.
And then cashing out her life insurance.
Yeah, not buying it.
Right. So the next one is Georgia Nolan of Kentucky. She went missing after exiting her car with her estranged husband in 1976. Now, according to the things we could find when we were researching, her and her husband had split. Her husband's name was Denver, and she came back to Kentucky to live with family. One day, Denver showed up, and they decided to reconcile their relationship. They had four kids together, and their youngest was only 6 weeks old. So they were traveling back to Chicago, and they had the youngest child with them. And they ended up pulling over and dropping off the child at Denver's mother's house. But reports say that people don't remember seeing anyone else in the vehicle except for Denver at the time.
Hmm.
And that was the last time anybody saw Georgia's when they left. So further things that make things kind of look suspicious is he actually changed his story many times over the years.
Right.
And his sister, at the same time in 1976 when she went missing, his sister put in a septic tank that was his idea. And there were people saying that they saw Denver toss a large bag into the bottom of the septic tank at the beginning. So they went to police about it, but police didn't want to dig up the septic tank just based off of suspicion alone. Like, right. They needed more evidence, right, than just that. And another thing is Denver's sister received a fine in 2009 when she refused to switch over from septic to sewer.
Mm-hmm. They really don't want that tank dug up.
No, which makes me want to go and get some shovels and go to Kentucky.
Oh, not me. You ever played around with sewer system or septic system?
No, but I know it's disgusting.
Especially 40 plus years of shit. Mm-mm.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know it's bad, but I want to. And I actually reached out to Georgia Nolan's daughter, the daughter that was actually the one in the vehicle. She was 6 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
She still runs some Facebook pages and things like that. So I'm hoping maybe we can get in touch with her and be able to tell more of a story at a later date.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. So Patricia Seelbaugh is what we're going to go with,
mm-hmm,
of Pennsylvania. Patricia was last seen on Friday, October 26, 1973, in the company of her friends at a Barkeyville truck stop in Barkeyville, Pennsylvania. The truck stop is located just off of Interstate 80, just east of Interstate 79. She was dropped off with a known male at a residence in the area located just outside Grove City, Pennsylvania. Commonly known.
Hold on, did I rub off on you a little
Jesus
too much?
Jesus Christ, you must be.
Commonly
known as Hallville. It was late, likely after midnight. This is the last time she had been seen.
So far we have 8 women,
mm-hmm,
still to this day missing, except for the one, but her remains still haven't been found.
Mm-hmm.
No idea where they went, what they did.
Just vanished.
Just up and vanished. And the 9th one has the same outcome. Denise Shahey of New York disappeared in 1970 when her mom smelled beer on her breath and they had an argument about it. And Denise left the house and never been seen since. And she was 16 at the time of her disappearance.
Jesus.
And the family actually freaked out quite a bit because of the whole Manson family.
Mm-hmm.
Was the year before and right, everything. So they didn't know exactly what was going on or if she just left. They thought maybe the boyfriend did it, but the boyfriend didn't know and he was looking for her as well.
Right.
She left upset. Who knows if she just got in a vehicle with the wrong person. In times of being angry, whatever, sometimes you don't think as clearly.
Right. And, you know, on the hopeful side, who's to say that she's not a local performer down in Nashville?
I hope so.
Under a totally different name, under a totally different identity.
What I like to think of. I like to go to right, like paradise places where right, they're still fine. And even though they just moved on and separated themselves from their family,
mm-hmm,
that's what I like to think.
Right.
But yeah. So going back to Beth, though, the most recent sketch was done in 2015, and Tom McAndrews is the one who works on the case now.
Okay.
So it's still open. They're still trying to figure out where she belongs.
Yeah. So this is pathetically sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Pathetically sad. It was stated in her case later down the line that the later autopsy was ruled it was a homicide.
Right.
No shit.
She was dismembered and put in 3 separate suitcases and tossed off of a bridge. Pretty sure she didn't do that herself.
Right.
God. It just seems like the most Captain Obvious fucking comment you could put in any sort of report.
Mm-hmm.
When we hit that, we were like, what the fuck? fuck?
Right.
So now that's all that we have on Beth Doe.
Right.
We know that she was put in different suitcases, the two that were the blue jean color,
mm-hmm.
and it had the one single stripe across the top of it that was red, white, and blue, and then the other one was that tan plaid color.
Right.
We know that she was days away from having a baby. She was probably from Serbia or Croatia,
mm-hmm.
and she was young and had a broken front tooth that would have hurt
right
a lot.
Right.
That's it. It is 2018. She went missing in 76.
Right.
Holy cow.
A little crazy.
It's just crazy that something can go that long and not the person not be found out. Like, it's one thing, and it sucks when unsolved cases happen, when you have a body, you have a story, but you can't find justice.
Right.
You know, but when you don't even know who the person is, so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
So now we can move on with some other things that we found after we finished up her case, because typical snowball rabbit holes, whatever happened.
Right. So the U.S. Medical Examiner and Coroner's Office receive an estimated 4,400 unidentified human bodies every year.
Every year.
That's 4,400 bodies.
Every year.
Every year. According to the first National Census of Medical Legal Death Investigations, medical examiners and coroner's offices in 2004, of these, about 1,000 are still unidentified after 1 year. 600 are buried or cremated.
Mm-hmm. However, the overall estimated of 40,000 unidentified remains out there, only about 6,000, or just a tiny 15%, have been entered into the NCIC. And the reason why is just because the volume
right.
is so high, which is crazy to me because, listen, send me all of it. I'll enter it in for you.
Right.
That is just insane. You would think that you would try to get people, because I know there's people out there that would volunteer.
Oh, sure.
Time.
Sure.
To help enter that in, because that is 40,000 people
mm-hmm.
with no name, no information.
Well, no known name.
Right. They have a name.
Yeah,
we just don't know it.
They have a name that we just don't.
They have a name, they have a story, and I wants to know them.
Right. So over half of the nation's unidentified remains are held in large offices in five cities. They're located in New York, New York, in Cleveland, Ohio, Los Angeles, California, Houston, Texas, and where, Amber?
Why do you do this to me?
Where's that last one?
I said San Bernardino.
San Bernardino? Also known as San Bernardino, California. San Bernardino?
Fuck you. It's like a burrito.
Right.
Burritos.
So, truthfully, I would like to...
Nope, music. Ready.
All right. So, yeah. Sorry about that little interruption. It's we're actually trying to record during the middle of the day this time, and...
Right, because somebody's working nights.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You were about to say that you would want to go to...
Oh, I would like to see what it would take to be able to gain access.
Oh, me too.
To go over files, look at the remains... You know, just it's my morbid curiosity. It's my sick, twisted brain. I want to know more.
I do too. I would love to be sent information
right.
and enter it in and go through things. While I was looking into a couple other things, I found that a lot of people would go through these unidentified people and look at their composite sketches.
Sure.
And compare them to all of the missing people cases.
Right.
That
right.
are around. Take the year and look through all of them and try to see if there's similarities at
sure.
all. In fact, Georgia Nolan, there is a woman that they found that looks scary similar.
Right.
But I haven't found out if it was the same or if they had compared and it was the same woman or not. This was December.
Oh, okay.
So it's only been a couple of months, so I don't know.
Right.
Which is another reason why we're reaching out. But that's something that I would want to do. But in the same, I also don't know how much of that I could do
mm-hmm.
because that has to be a feeling of hopelessness.
Oh, yeah.
But in the same breath, you know that you could also be the person that could bring that closure
right.
for somebody.
Right.
Which is also makes it worth it.
Absolutely.
So pain worth the reward for sure.
Right.
I wish that more people could do that.
Right.
I almost wish there was some sort of job for that, for something. I don't know, maybe do some sort of prison reform.
Yeah.
Have them look through it. I'm a housewife, I'll do it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I would love to go over evidence and different things like that, because how we've talked about, sometimes all it takes is a fresh set of eyes and a new perspective.
Right.
To totally change things.
Right.
So meanwhile, this blew my brain right. when we found this out. So while cases of missing persons 18 and under must be reported, only a couple of states require law enforcement agencies to report missing person cases for adults. It's all just voluntary
right.
on what they want to submit.
Right. So if you're a little kid, we're going to do what we can to find you. Mm-hmm. If you're an adult,
right.
Whatever.
Which still to me, 18, 19, 20, 21.
75.
Right. Doesn't matter. 80. It doesn't matter to me.
A missing person's a missing person. It doesn't make a flying rat's ass how old or how young they are.
Right.
If that person is missing and they're... people are looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to put forth effort to find them.
Right. So what's so sad is since so many missing person cases have never been entered into the national database and only half of coroners and medical examiners routinely take DNA or fingerprints from unidentified remains before disposing of them,
mm-hmm.
a huge number of crimes could be going needlessly unsolved.
Right.
And a lot of what we were just saying is almost direct quotes from a newsletter that we will link into this description. It has more information on that website as well.
Right.
But those are just crazy statistics to me.
Right.
Because as we keep going with some of these other statistics that we have, these are just the ones that are entered into the database.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the ones that have happened.
Right.
Which even the ones that have been entered into the database are just... the number is too high.
It's insane.
I don't like it.
Right. So one thing that we found on Name Us is currently there are 4,500 unclaimed people found.
Mm-hmm.
So they have names, but they have but they have not one person that has stepped forward to say, oh, I know who that is.
That's just...
yeah, to take the remains, to give them a proper burial, to do anything like that. 4,500 people.
That is just so bizarre to me.
Right. Almost 6,000 missing reports on women, the oldest one dating back to a 2-year-old little girl named Mary Agnes Moroni of Chicago in 1930.
Right. That's how far they have right now.
Right. And over 8,000 missing reports on males.
Which that to me was shocking on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time people have the general idea that women are the ones that go missing or are reported missing more. But according to these numbers, men go missing by 2,000 more.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. So the 8,000 missing reports on males, the oldest one dating back to 1902, when a 30-year-old man, Elijah Grisham Cravens, a farmer who lived in Oklahoma, he left on horseback to attend a Woodman of the World meeting and was never seen again. A possible date of birth of 10/20/1867 was located for the
missing persons
during a genealogy search, but has yet to be confirmed as a missing person's true date of birth.
Yeah, so they have it, but they just aren't sure
right.
if it's that one. So because we were looking up Beth Doe, and there's never a lot of information to go on. You don't know who the person is. You don't know whatever. We didn't want to end it there. So we found some other unidentified cases, thanks to the magical oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was nicknamed Grace Doe. The decomposing body of a woman aged 21 to 31 was found December 2nd, 1990 in McDonald County, Missouri. The woman was possibly of mixed ancestry, having characteristics of both white and Native American. She had been tied with several different types of rope, her hands behind her back and fastened to one leg, which led some to presume she was a victim of rape or another form of sexual assault. One of the ropes was identified to be from a form of parachute, which may have originated from some form of military branch. She was possibly killed at the scene, as a witness had reported that he heard a woman scream around the same time Jane Doe would have died.
Damn.
She is still unknown. That's 28 years later.
Right. So the Barron County John Doe.
Mm-hmm.
A skeleton of a young man was found by loggers on September 21st, 1982 in Dallas, Barron County, Wisconsin. It was believed that he had been stabbed. This was indicated by tears in his Western style plaid shirt. He also was wearing jeans, a denim jacket, and blue shoes with white stripes. He is estimated to be between 18 and 24 years old at the time of his death. Basic estimations such as height, weight, hair color were later calculated, and he was guessed to be between 5'7 and 5'9 and likely weighed 180 to 195 pounds with a large build. Hair found on the body was light brown, and some distinctive elements were also noted. It was possible that he wore glasses, although none were found at the scene. He had a large amount of dental work done to his teeth. This had been done not too long before he died. He also had some kind of surgery on his left knee that involved a screw and a staple on the tibia. This kind of surgery would require a long hospital stay that could have lasted up to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Serial numbers on the screw and staple were traced, but this did not lead to the location where they had been purchased.
And that's crazy that you don't have any sort of, I would want to go through and try to find any sort of hospital records of anybody staying in a hospital for X amount of time,
mm-hmm,
for a break for the tibia. And I don't know if they would have known how long ago the break had happened.
Right.
But I would want to go through and look through that year and just so many files, but
right.
I would totally do that.
Right. Vernon County Jane Doe, a woman between 50 and 65 years old, had been murdered in 1984. She had been killed by blunt force trauma to the head. Her hands were severed from her arms to prevent fingerprinting and identification.
Yeah. A woman 50 to 65 years old has no family?
Right.
Has nobody?
Right.
That's a long time for nobody to know somebody.
Yeah. That.
You know, it's just, it makes my brain hurt because, mm-hmm, I don't understand it. So these next ones are small looks into a case that we will definitely cover in our future.
Mm-hmm.
So on March 21st, 1984, a teenage female was found at least 10 months after she had died in Seattle, Washington. She was between 12 and 18 years old and was most likely left-handed. A healed fracture was also observed on her skull. Now, Gary Ridgway described her as a white female in her early 20s who may have had brown hair. On January 20th, 1986.
On when?
On January 20th. Or 2nd? On January 2nd. I was like being all bitchy back, like, I know what I am saying, sir.
Uh-huh.
Nope, sure don't. Huh? I'll just go ahead and eat my humble pie over here. On January 2nd, 1986, so 2 years later, another female was found between 2 and 6 years after her death in Auburn, King County, Washington. She was between 14 and 19 years old. Most of the Green River victims who have been identified were involved in prostitution. If you didn't know who Gary Ridgway was before, he's the Green River Killer. Of course, we were going to cover him because that is a fascinating case.
Right.
So a third victim of Gary was also not identified. And she was, let's see, due to the remains being partial, consequently resulting in excluding the option to reconstruct the face. Ridgway described this victim as a white female in her mid-teens, early 20s that had blonde or brown hair, because, you know, he's specific, and was around 135 pounds. All three of these victims' remains are known as Jane Doe B-10, Jane Doe B-17, and Jane Doe B-20, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Ridgway is the most notorious serial killer. And it's crazy that because his case was so publicized,
right,
that all eyes were on it and still nobody, there's three victims that nobody knows of.
Right.
Or they know of, they just don't know where they came from.
Right.
It just...
Mm-hmm. So the Fairfax John Doe, body of a boy of African heritage, 3 to 6 years old, was found in Massey Creek on June 13th, 1972. The victim was 4 feet tall and weighed about 50 pounds. The cause of his death was determined to be blows to the head. He had been dead less than 24 hours and was not wearing any clothing.
Yeah, he was found within 24 hours of his murder, and it's still, they don't know his name. They don't know where he came from. No parents stepped forward. No relatives stepped forward.
A 3 to 6 year old boy.
The common question with this episode today is how?
Right.
I don't get it.
That
so no. it hurts. It hurts my soul a right. little bit. The next one, Ottawa County Jane Doe. On October 22nd, 1975, the remains of an unknown Jane Doe were found in Ottawa County, Ohio. The body was unclothed. She was naked. Why does it say unclothed like that? I don't like that. Okay. So, the body was found naked, leading officials to suspect foul play after the case was reopened in 2016. The victim had died as a result of drowning and lacked trauma to indicate it was forced. She was between 20 and 30 at the time of her death, and she was probably about 5'4 and weighed around 140 pounds. So right in the
same ballpark,
around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same person, because this is a totally separate unknown body.
Right.
But that's also crazy. Further examination of her body indicated she may have been pregnant the year before her death, so in 1974. Her hair was reddish brown and her eyes were hazel or brown.
Huh.
Crazy.
So Sussex County Jane Doe. On June 24th, 1980, the skeletal remains of a woman were found in High Point State Park in Sussex County, New Jersey. Her body had been dismembered with a saw.
A saw.
Yeah.
That is intense.
Parts of it had been placed in various trash bags, which had been disturbed by animals. The bones of the torso were never located. The victim is guessed to be between 13 and 20 years old. Her face was difficult to determine, but... Her race was difficult to be determined, but it was concluded that she was white with an unknown admix, possibly Hispanic. The height was between 5'5" and 5'2", and she probably was a little overweight. Although her remains were too decomposed to establish an estimation of what she weighed, her straight, medium-length hair was dark brown, but it had also been bleached blonde. She wore distinctive jeans and had various colors on one of the legs. Her teeth had also been considered unique by examiners, as they had a distinct shape and showed no signs of dental care, but were well maintained.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've always found weird? And, you know, this Jane Doe, along with Beth Doe, were dismembered. I think that's always weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after you get done murdering somebody, you then sit and take the time to dismember them. My brain doesn't work that way.
Right.
I am way too anxious. Right after a murder were to happen, like if I were to do something like that,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't feel I had the time to sit and deconstruct a human.
Right.
I would be so in like panic mode that somebody would find me. So that just, it takes a special psycho.
So I was just going to say, that is the mind of a psychopath.
Right.
Is they do what they're going to do, and then they have all the clarity that they need to just sit back and go, okay.
That's crazy.
So from here, I need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I agree with you, if I were to do something like that, my heart would be going so fast, my blood would be moving so hard through my body, and mm-hmm. my emotions would be going so crazy, I'd just be like,
Which also leads me to speculate is maybe in the case of this Jane Doe, along with the case of Beth Doe,
mm-hmm.
that it was probably done by the works of somebody who has done it before.
Oh, yeah.
Because I even think even throughout different cases that I have researched and studied in the past is even the first kill is always messy.
Right.
It's always whatever. These ones are insane.
Right.
Because obviously this person had enough time and they are still free.
Right.
Or they were caught for other crimes like Gary Ridgway and William Posey.
Right. So part of me is like, as my little warp peanut brain rattles around between my ears.
Right.
Part of me wonders, like, the show Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mind created that?
I don't know, but I love it because I can relate to it.
Oh, no, I'm all about it. I'm with it. But you know what I mean? Because I'm sure that there's people like that out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and fun facts is a lot of the cases that happen in Dexter were taken off of true cases.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, in the first season where it's the ice truck killer, that's partly taken off of the Iceman. I can never try to say his name and I would get spanked by Bruce and Brandy, Kolinsky, something like that. Oh,
Ted Kaczynski?
Thank you. Shit, my brain just went like, delete. Oh, so, you know something, Ember? You think you're going to know something? Oh, let's just erase it real fast.
Right. So the person that doesn't really know that much about true crime just came out with a home run?
Mm.
What's up?
That's because you do know more than you think. But anyways, it was taken off of that a little bit. The one guy who was in Dexter was killing and putting in bathtubs, the women.
Uh-huh.
That's based off of a true one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Putting bodies in barrels is based off of true things.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we might have to go. Sorry, I kicked the table. We might have to go back through and watch Dexter again.
Oh, shucks.
And then do TV versus real.
Okay.
I think that would be fun.
I'm down.
All right. I guess it's my turn.
It is your turn.
So in Etowah County, John Doe, on May 29th, 1998, the skeletal remains of a black male were found by fishermen in, is it Coosa River? In Gadsden, Etowah County, Alabama?
Sure.
Sorry, Alabama. I should have phoned a friend. I have an Alabama friend. Oh, I'm dumb. There were multiple bullet wounds to the skull and stab wounds to the sacrum in the right hip bone.
Okay, so for all of us that aren't former nurses and this, that, and the other, that might be like me and just be a truck driver,
mm-hmm.
sacrum is the small of your back.
Well, right below the small of your back.
It's the smallest of the small of your back. It's right. What you sit on. That's your ass.
That's your ass. It's what has your tailbone. It's right underneath.
Yeah. We were talking about this and she started using all these big words. And I was like, can you break this down to dumbass truck driver, please? Because I don't get it.
Right. I'm going to need you to tone it down for 2 seconds. All right. So stab wounds to the sacrum and the right hip bone. Evidence also showed that burning was present. Not sure if that was pre or post.
Okay. Oof. Right.
Hopefully post. He was aged between 17 and 21 at the time of death and had been between 5'5 and 5'8. Although forensic reconstruction of the skull was performed to aid in identification, the jawline is only an approximation as the mandible was never found.
The jawline?
The jawline, yeah.
The jawline.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like the bob line or whatever. Okay. Jawline. What's sad is I would have never caught that. Not even for a second if it wasn't for you. Good looking out.
Just trying to help you out, you know.
Trying to be a dick.
Yeah.
No, please do. Please do. The remaining maxillary teeth showed no evidence of fillings, possibly indicating lack of dental care. Wow. Now I'm just stuttering. Lack of dental care while alive. Some of the teeth had been fractured before death, possibly by using them to open a bottle. That makes my teeth hurt. One or both hands, which is weird. How is it one or both?
Yeah, pick one.
Is it just both one?
Or is it one?
Right. One or both hands and one or more limbs were not recovered. You're going to need more information.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah, makes my brain hurt.
Right.
So these are just some of the 40,000 people.
Right.
That have never been found, and we don't know what their names are.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. We could go on for days.
Right.
About this, and I'm sure we will. I'm sure we are going to cover more cases like this.
Right.
In the future. While we were looking, and we were on Name Us, I think it's nameus.gov, we found some information that I actually thought was really cool.
It is. It's very, very neat.
That we wanted to add, because within Name Us, you can go in and you can see there's multiple different categories. There's missing persons, there's unidentified, there's, right. you know, whatever. Right. And so these are some of the statistics that they had given on their website.
So for missing persons report, the total of cases of missing people reports is 28,408. There, of those cases, 14,029 or 49.38% are open.
Mm-hmm.
Of that 28,408, 14,379 or 50.61% are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, Name Us aided in 1,889 or 13.13%.
Right. And anybody can access Name Us.
Right.
Who knows who all helped, whether it was examiners, whether it's investigators, or whether it was your average Joe.
Right.
But that's cool that they've helped in at least 13% of mm-hmm. that. That's an awesome thing to say.
Absolutely.
So with unidentified, this is a direct quote from Name Us.
And this one's cool as shit.
Mm-hmm. So unidentified person system is a searchable database created to assist in solving cases that involved unidentified human remains. The system includes cases from throughout the United States and may be searched by demographics, physical characteristics, case numbers, or specific information. And I played around in it. I played around in it, and you can just enter female and it will bring it all up. You can just enter male. You could enter age or specifics. So you could go through and you could enter in missing leg.
Right.
Or whatever. You can make it as advanced as you want.
With that, any of you listeners out there, mm-hmm. if you have a missing persons, or if you know of a missing persons or something along the lines of that, get on nameless.gov.
Yeah. And play around with it.
Who knows?
That would be so cool.
Who knows?
To be able to have somebody find that closure.
Right.
New records are added every day by medical examiners and coroners across the country, increasing the chances that these unidentified persons will be named. Registration is not necessary to search the database, so you don't have to sign up. You can if you want. We did. But coroners and medical examiners are required to register in order to enter case information. What they have in Name Us currently is their total cases. They have 15,010
mm-hmm.
cases. There is 11,823, so 78.76% are still open.
And that is as of February 21st, 2018.
Correct.
It's updated every day.
Correct. Out of the 15,010, 3,187 or 21.23% are closed. And out of that, 1,346 or 42.23% have been helped by Name Us.
That's awesome.
That is fucking cool.
Yeah, it is.
So for any more information, or if you want to look up a person, a case, or anything, go and visit. It's nameus.gov, and we'll put the link in the description.
Absolutely.
I made a small issue because now I know what I will be doing for the rest of the day. But I think that it's important. It's crazy to me that there are so many people that we don't know who they are.
That are a face without a name.
Mm-hmm. Which I've known that there have been people like that. There was Dean Coral, and we'll be covering mm-hmm. that case. There was one victim that still was never identified. But most of the time when I think about people that were never identified, I think of war.
Right.
I think of world wars.
Right.
And
not happening, you know, today.
Right. And in those cases, they were just people that were lost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Information wasn't passed down or
right.
whatever. But it didn't ever occur to me that it still happens as frequently as it does
sure.
today.
Sure.
So it was very eye-opening in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And going back into wanting to do something bigger than ourselves, you know, that's something that I want to do now
mm-hmm.
when I have some free time. Is there's a big part of me that wants to go through and take Beth Doe and mm-hmm. her different sketches that she has had done.
Right.
And try to look through missing people mm-hmm. cases. And the one crazy thing is that we know that she was discovered on December 20th of 76.
Right.
However, somebody could have reported her missing after, or somebody could have reported her missing a few years before.
Uh-huh.
So what is that like?
There's such an open window there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be covering a couple of other cases in our future. One at the end of this one, our first big case that we're going to be covering.
Right.
There was a person that was found and he was unidentified for a very long time
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because he wasn't ever reported missing.
Right.
Well, at least for a long time. And then the other episode that we'll be covering was remains that weren't identified for a long time because they were purposely not reported missing.
Mm-hmm. And because of fucking warrants.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so that's what it makes me crazy, because in some of these cases it could be something like that.
Right.
You know, or
that's still just
mm-hmm.
Look, if you've done some fucked up shit in your past,
mm-hmm.
do the right thing.
Right.
Fess up. Own up to what the fuck you've done.
I don't know how morally I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
Right.
Like, I'm a terrible liar anyways. I am horrible. I will be the first to tell on myself.
Oh, I tell on myself way too often.
That's why I couldn't commit crimes or anything, because I would do it and then be like, all right, it was me. I'm sorry.
It was me.
My bad.
Right. But if you know of somebody that has done something,
say something.
There are ways to anonymously
mm-hmm.
go and say something. But I don't understand. I don't fathom knowing something like that and keeping your lips sealed. And I get it. Call me a snitch, call me a squealer, call me whatever you want. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
I would rather know that at the end of the day, I can go to bed and I can sleep peacefully.
That you did the right thing.
That I've done the right thing versus have that haunt me for the rest of my days.
Right. And that's like, I would like to be known as a good person, mm-hmm. somebody that tries to do the best.
Right.
But in the same breath, I also give zero fucks about what somebody would think about me.
Oh, I don't give a rat's ass.
Not too long ago, there was an incident, personal, that didn't speak right to my soul, and I ended up calling police in a completely different state.
Oh, absolutely.
To report somebody just based off of the things that they were saying on social media.
Right.
Because, joking or not, even when it comes to social media, if somebody is saying something
right.
that doesn't seem right, that gives you a certain feeling, most of the time people are not as dumb as we portray them.
Right.
You know, people can usually tell the difference or think, oh, I'm pretty sure that this person is just joking.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying whatever. And then you're going to come across somebody that's going to hit you.
Right.
And shock you to your core.
Oh, yeah.
And if they shock you to your core, it's probably a good idea to say something about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I ended up saying something about this particular person. And what creeped me out the most is this person on social media was saying how everybody knows him, you know.
Attorneys, lawyers, judges, police.
They all know his name.
Mm-hmm.
When I reported him, they're like, yeah, we know him very well.
Uh-huh.
So then I was like, if he was being truthful about that part, what else was he saying that could also be truthful? Because he was saying a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
And so I knew, especially with being into true crime as much as I have, you research these cases, you see them all the time. It makes you side-eye everybody.
Right.
You know, and so there's a lot of times I'm like, okay, am I just being weird or is there something here?
Right.
Well, it spoke enough to me that I said, fuck it. If I'm wrong, I can say sorry.
Right.
You know.
I'd rather apologize
mm-hmm.
and say, whoops, my bad, homie, versus keep my lips sealed and find out down the line.
Yeah. find out, you know, 6 months, a year, 5 years from now, right, the same person's name and face spewed all over social media because they found out that that person was a serial killer.
Right.
Or that that person killed somebody.
Right.
It's crazy.
Take a stance.
Right. Fuck Take being a nice.
Stance. They're
fuck not being in somebody's business. If you see something like that.
Right.
Say it.
Take this for what it is, and there's a lot of people that'll laugh at this, however, whatever, but I personally, I would rather die standing than live on my knees.
Right. Best quote ever from Lamb of God's song.
Right.
Oh.
But it's true. I would rather stand up and confront the situation and be like, wait a minute, hold on, hold on, versus sit back with tight lips and...
Well, and I get it, and for a lot of people, they're just, it's a lot to be able to do that, and some people are not confrontational. That's why there's so many great things about being able to do things now anonymously.
Right.
But be sure to do that, because if something doesn't speak right to you deep down, then maybe something isn't right. And maybe everything's fine.
Right.
But that will give you your own peace of mind.
Absolutely.
And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And so that's, I guess, my random impromptu. It's our advice today.
Well, and that's the deal, is this is our perspectives.
It really is.
Your perspectives might be totally different than ours, and that's fine. That's perfectly legit. But that's the cool part, is that's our perspectives.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, as far as closing thoughts for today, besides...
Pretty sure we just covered a bunch of them.
What we just did. But we do want to know, like, as far as a specific question for everybody else that we'll want to talk about, I'm not sure. Maybe what somebody's perspective on how somebody can be found but not found, you know, like their remains found but they're not.
Right.
Possible explanations, maybe.
Sure.
Parts of the cases that we talked about today. I don't know. I'm trying to find our what's your perspective question, and I've got nothing right now.
Well, what is your perspective on the possibility that there is 40 plus thousand people that have a face and have no name?
Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
How does it get to that point? How do we as a society have that many people just in the United States? This isn't anywhere else other than just the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How is there 40 plus thousand people without a face, or with a face without a name? How can that possibly be?
Right.
Everybody is someone's daughter or son or mother or father or brother or sister or cousin or uncle or aunt or
friend, coworker, neighbor.
Acquaintance. Right. There's
went to school together.
There's always some kind of tie.
Yeah. Everybody's connected. The world is a lot smaller than what we think.
Right.
You know?
How is there 40,000 people out there right now that are nameless?
Right. Because if you think about it, think about that, what happened recently where one of your old coworkers working in a completely different state is now working with somebody else that you are friends with on Facebook.
Because of a beard.
And
right.
They were like, how do you know Quinn Hammond? Like, holy shit, what are the odds of that?
Right.
You know?
Right. And we're talking thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
Thousands of miles away.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
So if that kind of connection can happen, how can there be people that we still don't know who they are 40 years later?
Right. And down the line later in a different episode, I'll talk to you guys about a case when it comes down to dogs.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, my folks had a deal happen to them through street rods and muscle cars that it came down to dogs.
Right.
And thousands of miles away.
It's crazy how we...
It's insane.
How we are so connected, and we all think that, you know, we can't disappear, we can't hide, we can't whatever.
Well, there's 40,000 people out there that have begged to differ.
Right. And I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm not either. I don't like it. Not for one second.
I don't.
Not for one second. How the hell is it possible?
That's too... Those numbers are just too too insane. And, you know, we like to live in a state of being comfortable.
Right.
You know, we're comfortable with if I go missing, somebody's going to find me.
Are they?
You know, and then you have.
Well, I can promise you this. If you do go missing,
yeah,
I will fight till my last fucking breath to find you.
Well, aren't you adorable?
Well,
that's why I love you very much.
And you know, yeah, ooh, gross, mush, ugh,
love, gross, bleh.
Right? But
no, I get it, and I feel the same way.
Not only do I love you and I care about you, but I need you.
Right?
And
same, my dude.
And
as you can tell, compliments and lovey stuff makes me uncomfortable as well.
Right? But I just, that's one thing that I don't understand is going back to it.
Yeah.
We just talked about a bunch of people that are someone's brother, someone's sister, someone's mom,
somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's child.
Right. How is it possible that you just turn into a ghost?
Yeah.
Especially
unidentified children that are found. Ugh. Like those ones always blow my mind because you know that there has to be some sort of connection. And the very unfortunate thing is statistically it comes down to the parents or the primary person raising them is the reason why. And how those people cannot say anything. I hate those people with everything that I have.
There's a special place in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just.
And if you don't believe in hell, there's a special place in the sewage treatment plant for them.
Right.
I mean, fuck those people.
There's a special place somewhere. You're just the biggest piece of shit that I could ever think of.
Right.
You know, I don't understand it all. I'm always left with more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I've always had a love hate when it comes to unsolved or in this case, unidentified people.
Right.
It's because we could sit here all day and speculate.
Oh, yeah.
We could come up with all sorts of scenarios. Was maybe the person that killed Beth Doe, was maybe that person the same person that got her pregnant?
Right.
It could be.
Right.
Who was that person? Where's her family? Where's her friends? Where's something?
Where's anyone?
Where's maybe the dentist that worked on her fillings before?
Right.
Could we maybe find, is there records somewhere, somehow?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Oh. It's crazy.
So much.
It's crazy that we can also do things like ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
We can go back through and find our lineage.
You can take a Q-tip, wipe your cheek,
mm-hmm.
mail it off, and 6 weeks later find out all kinds of information about you.
Yeah.
But we can't find someone that we actually can physically hold their bones.
Right.
What?
What? It's bananas.
It's horseshit.
So, sorry, not sorry for all of the rambling at the end.
Right. Oh, yeah. Not sorry.
Not sorry. You know, we hope that we thought that this episode was going to be shorter than what it was. Mm-hmm. Most of these ones that you guys are getting in this first week will probably be shorter episodes, just little looks into
right.
bigger things in the future. But I'm not sad.
Oh, no.
You know?
No, not at all.
And I definitely am very excited for when this episode does happen and we can talk about it throughout our social media.
Oh, yeah.
To see what everybody else thinks as well. Maybe they'll have a more profound perspective or a different perspective. Be like, oh, well, maybe it was that.
Right, right.
You know?
So with that on the social medias,
mm-hmm.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the FAP Pod.
Right. Our email is also thefappod@gmail.com.
Right. Now, also on Facebook, we have the FAP Lounge, which is where everybody gets to interact with everybody. And
right. Be sure to, if you have Facebook, be sure to be a part of the FAP Lounge because that's where we're going to not only talk about our cases, but we have a great team that is always talking about different documentaries or different books
right.
or whatever that.
Right. And speaking of that. Thanks to our mods.
Yes.
Very much thanks to our mods. We yes. have got a really kick-ass team running around with us.
We really do.
And
Sonia, Sam, Lindsay, and Rebecca.
Yep. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah. So be sure to go and check us out over there. What else do we have? I think that's it. Oh, for the person that got our episode from yesterday about Jameson Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle Longham Moore was the one that was able to be the first one to guess it correctly.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So look at her go with all of her smarts. Now I know her level of researching that she also likes to do. So that means I might have to make it even harder.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
So with that, we will give a teaser of the big one that we're going to end this week with here in the next couple of episodes to let you guys kind of start mulling over and thinking about and stuff like that.
And for those of you that don't know, you don't get to guess.
No, those of you that do know, you don't get to guess.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Don't listen to Ember, ever. She halfway doesn't know what she's saying.
But we still are not sure how many parts that's going to cover. It's huge.
It's
huge.
It is a big case, and it might be, I'm thinking that one might be one of those where we just pull it up and we'll just talk. And then once we reach a certain time, then be done.
Right.
So we don't know. Yeah, we'll know when you know.
Right.
You'll know when we know.
Yeah. Again, thank you for all of our Patreon support. Much appreciated.
Yes, you guys are amazing. We appreciate all of the help, the support, everything. Being able to help us get to this moment is founded on the back of our Patreon supporters. So we do definitely love you guys so much.
So I do have one thing in closing.
What's that?
We asked this in one of our Patreon deals, but I will ask this and respond on our social medias if you'd really want to get this going or however, whatever. Let's go with this on the Fap Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
What's your mental high?
Right.
What is your mental high?
What excites you?
Yeah. What gets you to that place where you are happiest or at the most peace with yourself? What is your mental high?
Oh, well, I have a few then, because I love doing this researching and it doesn't make me feel peaceful at all.
Right.
It makes me so uncomfortable. It makes me cry. I hate it, but I love it.
Right.
And that's a reason why I love it, is because while it is very intense and it's very hard at times, I know that it's also incredibly important.
Right.
And that gives me so much peace with that. Other than that, my other mental high is to disappear into the mountains. And
stealing mine.
No, it just, it's like we're the same person in different bodies.
Right. Because that is my mental high, is getting to break away from reality, getting to a place where my cell phone is nothing but a decorative brick and just walking away.
Getting back in touch with nature.
Going and getting grounded.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's my favorite as well.
You know, it's getting lost isn't the right phrase, but it is kind of getting lost. It's just going up, and I always know what direction I'm going. I always know where I'm at, but
that's why I like getting lost with you, because I would get legitimately lost.
Right. But being able to get into a spot where, have there been humans in here in the last 100 years?
Maybe, maybe not.
Who knows? That's the thing I enjoy doing. I like getting to a spot where the only thing you hear is the sound of the wind rustling through the trees and some birds every now and again, and maybe a bug fly past you, but it's deafeningly, deafeningly quiet.
Right. Well, and I think that it's always important, especially after hearing cases like the ones that we covered today.
Mm-hmm.
Where it leaves you sad and frustrated and whatever, is to go and be part of your mental high for the next day.
Right.
You know, go do something that will get you out of that space.
Right.
But yeah, it's important to go back through and to find that happy spot, especially after hearing stuff that's going to shake you.
Rattle your cage. Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
yeah. We want to know what your mental high is, and then we definitely want you to go and do that mental high.
Right.
But for now, we will leave you, and we will see you tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan.
See ya.
Have a good evening.
C. say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.